Welcome, everyone, to the Waiver Wire podcast. It is week 7 of the fantasy football team. Some of us in the industry have dubbed it, you know, Bye-mageddon, and we're going to have lots of time to talk about that. But you may have noticed, if you're watching this broadcast live, I have brought in the cream of the crop, the guest of all guests, Jake Seeley from The Athletic and also Betts Media. And you have your own podcast. I mean, like, there's so much you do, Jake.
Except sleep.
Where do we find you, first of all? First place to find you, The Athletic?
At The Athletic, if you want to go there, that's where all the columns are, and that's where everybody answers or asks a million comments, and I answer over 1,000 a week. This is why I get no sleep. Customers come first. And yeah, Betts TV, that's where the YouTube and the podcast is, the All in Football podcast.
Fantastic. So you guys go ahead and follow Jake right now. Don't waste any time at All In Kid, because apparently he loves answering questions thousands and thousands at a time. No, I'm just kidding. That's what we're here for on the podcast. But one of the things that Jake does really well, and I've known Jake for a while now, we actually even competed this year in Tout Wars, failed to complete a trade, tried to do it, but I value DJ LeMahieu higher than he did. Anyway, that's another story. One of the things that Jake does very, very well is rankings. And so we're going to get to that. But very first, I just want to quickly run by this breaking news, Jake. Breaking news. I feel like this news breaks about once a week. But breaking news is Deshaun Watson might be going to Miami. Oh, wait, no. Breaking news. It's actually a 3-team deal. And Deshaun Watson would actually be going to Washington per Houston beat writer Cody Davis. I have to check that. I'm sorry if I got your name wrong, Cody. But that is the latest news. So, I mean, what do we do? Drop to Terry McLaurin to the moon. Ricky Seals-Jones, a must add. When you hear these things, do you even react?
No. That's why I kind of rolled my eyes at it, because somebody just recently posted in the comments, I guess before that whole 3-team trade popped up, and they said that the rumor to the Texans was happening. What should I do? Should I go grab Watson now and drop blah, blah, blah? And it was like, we've been to this path. What you said it once a week. We've been down this path legitimately like 4 or 5 times where they said a deal is close. Like, this isn't the first time they said a deal is close. So if you're in a super flex or 2 quarterback league, I get it. But there's still, is he out there next week? That's my question. It's like, if the trade happens, I'm assuming the new team is going to play him. But it's such a weird situation that, yeah, I get it in super flex and 2 quarterback leagues, because top 10 quarterback, and yes, he would be a boost to everybody he plays with. But at the same time, I'm not going crazy. Single quarterback leagues, I'm not, you know, if it comes down to, I have to blow my entire fab next week, and when it actually happens, I'll do it.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm going to throw this over to Eddie Spaghetti, my trusty sidekick and our producer over at Waiver Wired. Spaghetti, does this move the needle for you?
Well, it's kind of like what Jake was saying. Is he going to play? Like, what the problem with Deshaun is, like, a lot of people feel like he should not be allowed to play in the first sense. And the second sense is, like, now, depending on which team he moves to, it's like, I mean, clearly a talented player. He's a quarterback that doesn't even need weapons to help his team succeed. But is he going to be able to pick up the offense that quickly, depending on where he goes? Is it Washington? Is it going to be Miami? And, you know, in terms of the fantasy value, like, I'm sure if he goes to either one of those two teams and if he does play and he picks up the offense fairly quickly, any of those, the weapons on those both offenses will be obviously much better. But I just, it's a very kind of gross situation. I'm not really sure what to really think about this or how the transaction will go down if it does.
Well, one quarterback we are for certain is playing is Case Keenum. Case Keenum starting tomorrow night, Thursday Night Football. You know, he's actually on this line early, kind of like leaning towards Denver when it was 3+3.5 points. And now the line has moved all the way to 2. And I think Denver money line is only +105. But of course, now Teddy Bridgewater is questionable. Maybe they can trade for Deshaun Watson, because I would love to see Cortland Sutton, my boy, Tim Patrick. Tim Patrick's my boy. Maybe we're going to talk about him later too. Noah Fant, Jerry Jeudy, all connect with Deshaun Watson. But let's talk a little about this Thursday night game, Jake. Okay, popular waiver wire ads, of course, to Ernest Johnson and Dimitri Felton. Me personally, when it first came up, I literally said to Fabiano at SA.com, like, I'm not recommending Darren Schnauz. I'm just not going to do it. I can't do it. It's gross. I can't do it to anybody. And now with the Case Keenum start, I actually like it even less. I mean, I know he's going to get some carries. He's the only one there, but it's a tough Denver run defense. And now they can even stack the box if they want to. Like, I get it. If you're in a bye week situation, maybe you right. do it, but, where are you with this D'Ernest Johnson? I mean, maybe I'm totally wrong. I know Jeff Ratcliffe loves him this week.
I just did a show with Jeff, so I would say loves him, but I would say, what is like a RB2/3. So that's only because what you just said, though, because is it whatever, Bipocalypse, Bimageddon, Binado, or I almost said Nando, Binando, like Shark.
Nobody Binando. By the way, he was totally wrong. Geno Smith did not drop 30 points. I mean, I did take Nando down last week in our match.
I think Nando's the biggest fan of D'Ernest Johnson, and it's still like, you have to keep it in check. Look, yeah. You're right. It's a tough matchup. If it wasn't six teams on a bye, we wouldn't be talking about it. Like, we'd be talking about it. I said, basically, he's Devontae Booker and about a bad run defense. The one thing is they should probably run a little bit more than most. Although, as you mentioned with Case Keenum, you probably get more shots downfield. Similar to Tyler Haneke, probably going to take too many shots downfield, which might be good if Odell Beckham actually gets on the field. Who knows the wide receivers in that situation. But I'm with you. I think you play him as an RB3, and it's only because you're in a tough spot. Like, I have him. Despite having Damian Williams in my lineup or in my rankings as he's playing, we don't know that yet. But I'm saying this to say I still have Khalil Herbert in front of D'Ernest Johnson.
Yeah, and I like that call better too, even in a timeshare. But okay, so let's continue on the rankings discussion first, and then I want to talk about how we're going to handle Bipocalypse, Bimageddon, Binado. Don't buy what I'm saying. Maybe do. Jake, so you publish rankings every week. I think this is extraordinarily fantastic. It's something I don't do, and I admire you so much. But I happen to notice that this week you had a special set of rankings.
Oh, yes.
Halloween candy rankings. Yes. And I want to go over some of these because I think we need to talk about this. Some of your projections are just simply wrong. They're just simply wrong.
So tell me where.
All right. First of all, how are Twix all the way down at number 15 and after Swedish Fish Minis and Nerds Gummy Clusters? Are Nerds Gummy Clusters?
Exactly. You cannot besmirch Nerds Gummy Clusters until you've had them, because I actually, friend of ours, Paul Spohr, texted me seeing my rave review about them on Twitter and said, "You have changed my life. I'm now addicted to these things. They're the best things ever that nobody's ever tried. So go try the Nerds Gummy Clusters, then come back to me when you tell me that it's now..."
Do they taste like Nerds? Because Nerds were really hip and cool when I was a kid, and they were like the worst candy ever.
No, because it's the gummy cluster inside. That's really... Just go try them. Trust me. Your world is going to be shaken. It's going to be rocked, and I'm going to, you know, cause everybody to go into sugar comas for the rest of their lives, because I've yet to have one person come back and say, "These are awful. What the hell were you saying?" I've never even heard somebody come back and say, "Oh, these are pretty good." Every single person has come back and said, "This is the best candy I've never tried. I need to get more of them." So yes, go have them. And then Twix, I said this last year and it's held over this 3-4 years ago. Twix were inside my top 10, no question. They did something. They changed the taste. There's a difference, and it almost like has like a fake sugary taste now.
Really?
And yeah, just it doesn't taste as good anymore. They did something to the Twix. I don't know what they did.
Twix are injured.
Yeah, if they want to reach out and let me know what they did to them. Something changed with the Twix, and that's why they fell down my rankings.
Okay, all right, I'll accept that. But where the heck is Kit Kats?
Oh, Kit Kats are... So Kit Kats, did I not even put them in there this year?
No, they're gone. And yet we have Milky Way? Come on. And by the way, why is Three Musketeers not on the worst list?
That's a good conversation. Well, because did you see the worst list? Can that really break inside the top 10 there?
I did see the worst list. I have to say, I do like Whoppers. I'm sorry. I'm a weirdo. I will admit that most people...
I said overrated. Like, they weren't in the worst list. They're just overrated. Okay. You break your teeth. Kit Kat, I actually had in the overrated section last year, and I got yelled at for it. But I said, this is why. Look, Kit Kats are good. The problem is you get zero satiation from them. Is that you could eat 20 and be like, I still haven't even really had a Kit Kat. Like, they don't fill, I know you're not supposed to fill up on candy, but they don't satisfy your hunger at all. Like,
but you don't want that when you're doing Halloween candy. You want to eat more and more and more and more and more. And by the way, I do agree with your take that regular M&Ms aren't that great. Peanut M&Ms are superior, but peanut M&Ms can also be in this list.
Peanut butter M&Ms.
Oh, they are excellent. I think I survived on those during college. I think I eat them for meals.
No, it's like Take Five. I actually said, so Take Five is really good, but Take Five is the opposite end of the spectrum. It's like, it's too filling. Like, you eat two of them and you're like, okay, you get that kind of feeling in your stomach. That's actually the technical term. Get in your stomach.
I felt that.
No, but I love Kit Kats. They just never do anything. Like, you eat a whole Kit Kat, you're like, did I eat anything?
Yeah, and so then I eat more, and I have no problem with that, says my ever-expanding waistline. Okay, where's Halloween candy? Yes. Most of these I do agree with. I want to know if we can actually add – well, first of all, I would add Three Musketeers to this list, because when I was a kid, if I was going around and you guys gave me Three Musketeers, I'm like, what is this? I'm just going to I'm not going to eat this. Nobody's going to eat this. I also want to say that the Snickers fun size is far superior to the Snickers minis. The Snickers minis are a waste of your time. I only want a fun size bar that is the perfect Halloween candy to me. And finally, if you're the family that hands out boxes of raisins, you should just go to jail. Like, it's not nice. Don't do that to kids.
Don't do it to kids. But I have to tell you, for what's on the worst list, I'd probably rather get raisins than some of those things.
Really? Well, yeah, they're pretty. Like Smarties is one I hate. I hate Smarties.
Nico wafers, like I said, it's street chalk. Somebody broke up street chalk and put it in a candy wrapper and was like, here, eat it.
Do you want to hear something? Last week's guest, Howard Bender, he likes all these terrible Halloween candies. I give him such crap about it. He likes things like Smarties.
I should question it. He's a psychopath, is what you should.
He's a total psychopath. Howard Bender's a psychopath. Oh, by the way, for anybody who was wondering, bobblehead bet update. Guess who's getting two bobbleheads? Oh, yeah. I won the bet. Double or nothing. DFS took him down. Two contests in a row.
What bobblehead? You have to decide on it.
See how it works is we did this last season with Jerry, and Jerry and I played with Howard, and we both beat Howard. So we were both, our thing was we were going to pick a bobblehead to go on Howard's body that we would get to display, like a trophy, like a war trophy. Okay. But we kind of Jerry had trouble picking out a head, and then blah, 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 blah. So it never happened. So I said to Howard, I said, I want to go double or nothing. And I also want a bobblehead of myself doing something cool. So I want a Howard bobblehead and a Jen bobblehead. And he said, fine, let's go. And then I think he spent too long at a Fish concert because his lineup was, mine wasn't good, but his was terrible. So don't put this clip on social media.
You can't see it because he's hidden back there, but I have a Bartolo Colon bobblehead, but it actually also has the bobble belly from when he hit the home run.
Oh my God.
So you can bobble the belly and the head.
Oh God. That's so disgusting and so perfect at the same time. Okay. So if you guys want to find Jake's Halloween candy rankings, such as they are, theathletic.com. You can also get your fantasy football rankings there. And I have to say they're pretty good, whether they have ducks next to them. What is it? Duck rankings? They actually have
that's in the waiver column. That's 1 to 5. That's how many worries. Oh, that's the ducks column. Concerns. Yes. Those are ducks.
Well, waivers. So that's a whole other problem this week. It's just, it's messy out there. But let's go back to, Bimageddon. I want to ask you a little bit about how you deal with these bye weeks, because one of the most common questions I'm getting is like, well, who can I drop? And then I'm getting these options like, I don't know, Darnell Mooney and Devonta Smith. Like, I don't really want you guys to have to drop any of those guys, but I know there's tough decisions. So I want to ask you, like, first of all, how you deal with drops. Second, who is a do not drop? And finally, do you draft with bye weeks in mind?
So I'll go, no, I don't draft with bye weeks in mind.
Me either.
The only way that I ever get to that point, because so much changes on your roster, you know this, everything, your roster's not going to be the same in week 8. It shouldn't be the same by week 8 unless you are a prognosticator. And then in that case, you should be in Vegas. You shouldn't be playing. But, your roster's going to change over. I'll split the difference if I'm making a tough decision during the draft one or two ways. If I'm not dealing with a lot of people in the same bye, I'll make sure I don't overlap too much. if I start heading down a direction where the best player has forced me now to pick up a fourth person on a week seven bye or something like that, then I'll kind of say, you know what, maybe I'll just attack week seven, have 90% of my roster for the rest of the year. And I actually did that one year where about half my team was on a week nine bye. And
you just decided to give up that week. So that was the
only loss I had that year. And I'm not saying it's going to work out that well every single year. But that's the, and of course, if you're playing best ball, you only draft one quarterback. You don't want your second quarterback to have the same bye week. That's the only case where I ever pay attention to byes. For the rosters and all this, I'm seeing the same thing. There's questions in the rankings about, you know, I need to drop blah, blah, blah. And people are need to drop Alex Collins. And obviously, we don't know if he's playing yet. But, you know, if he's started, there's no way you can drop Alex Collins, stuff like that. It's the same thing. I kind of told you that I wanted to speak to you about it as well, is your roster construction in general is I've been railing the past couple of weeks about never having too much running back depth, because I see a lot of people ask the question. They're like, well, Darrell Henderson is my third running back. I'm starting into my flex. Should I trade him for, you know, Devontae Adams? But then the next running back up is like AJ Dillon. Like, it's a backup. Like, you can't do that to your running backs. Look at everybody right now and what they're dealing with that could change in 1 week. And that comes into this conversation of the same thing, is if you're going to do this, you trade and get a running back back. You also don't want to drop somebody that can inherently just help the other teams you're facing. So make trades. Like, if you're going, and I know, like, oh, it's tough to trade in my league. You can overpay. You can overpay to the point where the person can't help but say yes. It's better than just letting Devontae Smith, as you mentioned, go for free. Go give them to another team, because they're going to pick them up for free anyway. So go give them to that team and at least get some value back. Even if you're only going from DeAndre Swift to Joe Mixon and you threw in Devontae Smith, yeah, that stinks, because that's a massive overpay, but you just didn't give away Devontae Smith to a team for free.
So that's how I feel too. And I've been getting these questions a lot. First of all, I had this question on SiriusXM last week. Someone was asking about trading a running back because he had like three. And I was like, you've got to be joking me. You have three good running backs. You don't go anywhere. So you can get like an okay wide receiver. You can pick up a wide receiver to stream. That's not so difficult. There's a lot more of those guys out there. They're going to be valuable for you. And also someone asked me also about should I drop Zach Moss or I don't know. I can't remember. Mitchell. And I was like, you don't drop either of them if you can help it. Why don't you trade them? You got to, somebody needs Zach Moss or Eli Mitchell, because that's the situation they're in. And I had some specific ones I wanted to just ask you. Just rapid fire. Just tell me where you would go. Okay. You only get one of these two. Ready? You have to drop.
Wait. Rankings or who to drop?
Who to drop.
Okay.
You have to. You are back against the wall. This is a game.
Okay.
Drop Devonta Smith or Allen Robinson?
Allen Robinson. That's pretty easy. Also, he's banged up now on top of it. I know. Look,
it's horrible.
It's where we're at. Justin Fields just coming off his quote-unquote best game, and it was still not that great.
It's so horrible. Okay, Kadarius Toney or Allen Robinson?
Toney.
Drop Toney?
Yeah, he's hurt. Oh, yeah. He's missing at least week seven. Shepard's back.
That's
and granted, yeah, Toney looked pretty good before he got hurt. But now Slayton's back. Kenny Galladay, if not back this week, is back next week. It's just going to be tough for targets on that team.
Okay, Darnell Mooney or Allen Robinson?
Allen Robinson.
Drop because, Robinson. I know he's less targets what it comes, there. I know.
Well, here's what it comes down to, Jen. It's like, if they both caught four passes, who's going to have more yards? It's likely to be Darnell Mooney, so that's where you go with it.
I know, it's so gross. All right, Michael Pittman or T.Y. Hilton?
It's
hard.
That is hard. I'm dropping T.Y. Hilton.
Yeah, because the injury risk?
Injury risk, and he's basically, it's Devontae Smith. You can go 4 for 90, or you can turn around and get 2 for 35.
Okay. Sterling Shepard or Kadarius Toney? You actually already answered that
one. That's
all right. Answer. You only get one. This is so gross. Can't believe we're even asking these questions. Cordarrelle Patterson or Mike Davis?
Mike Davis.
Drop Davis?
Yeah. 100%. I can't believe we're here.
Honestly. I know.
Like, I have Cordarrelle Patterson inside my top 15 running backs this week, and I'm like, what the hell is going on?
Such a good matchup.
But the only thing is, like, Mike Davis, the volume is still there. He's still being used. But really what it comes down to is he still looked uninspiring. And I was a Mike Davis preseason. I was a Mike Davis volume. And that's the only reason I liked him. Similar to Myles Gaskin, who's not getting the volume. But if Mike Davis starts heading down the Gaskin road and all of a sudden Wayne Gallman starts getting involved, that's why. Cordarrelle Patterson's role is surprisingly set.
Surprisingly. Okay. Eli Mitchell or Trey Sermon? You only Gets sermon. Keep one. Drop sermon.
Yeah.
I agree.
Mitchell's, hey, this is coming from somebody who said, look, Trey Sermon looks better with a quarterback not under center, just like he was in college. And then he just had that game with Trey Lance. And I was like, all right, he saw enough, that being Shanahan, saw enough that Sermon at least gets a share. A 60-40 split, 40 going to the... He got one touch. Shanahan's finally told us the truth. Shanahan has told us Mitchell is my guy.
Mitchell's the guy. All right, Mitchell or Hasty?
Mitchell, holding on to Mitchell, dropping Hasty.
Holding on to Mitchell. Ramondre Stevenson or Brandon Bolden?
Stevenson. Holding
Keep
him. Yeah,
hold Stevenson. Devontae Booker or De'Ernest Johnson?
Ah, holding Booker. Johnson's a 1 week play.
Hate Booker though this week. I don't like it. I don't like it. Right.
Did you really like Booker last week?
No, I didn't. I told people don't start him. Okay.
Still mid 20s.
Here's a really, really important one. This is really important. Your entire career is resting on this. Okay. Are you ready?
Yeah.
This is it. Make it or break it. You got to get the answer right. Ezekiel Elliott or Tony Pollard?
Oh, I'm dropping Zeke. You know that. Tony Pollard should have had this job for the entire year. I can't believe people thought I was serious with that back then.
No, they really do. Like you are getting like, it's hysterical. Like I swear half the time my Twitter feed is about people giving you crap about Zeke and Pollard. So if you guys missed it, I don't know if you want to give the background, but sometimes sarcasm and is missed.
Gets missed. I could not think it was more clear than that. For the quick version of it, this started, what was it, week two or three? Because it started when everybody was like, oh, Tony Pollard should be getting more carries than Zeke.
He's so much more efficient, blah, blah,
And that's where it started. And then in that game, something happened. I don't remember what happened, but I was like, oh, Tony Pollard would have scored on that. And then it just snowballed from there. And where it snowballed too is I started turning him into basically Chuck Norris. I was like, you know, he could take a cow, split him in half, and grill the steaks on his thighs. Like, I don't know how much more clear about sarcasm you can get, you know? So we went down that road for the entire game that night, and then people, I guess, only remembered the football side of it. I don't know. I had people legitimately coming back to me this past week being like, oh, you want to take that back about Pollard being better than Zeke? Like,
so to be clear, drop Zeke, keep Pollard, right?
Oh, yeah. Pollard could do what Zeke's doing on one leg.
Absolutely. No problem. And he can probably even do it on bye. You may as well start him this week.
Oh, that's a really good point. I agree with you.
So good. I do like Pollard, you guys out there, for a flex play, but obviously Zeke is the guy there, and we've been saying that all season. So
if you haven't traded Derrick Henry and Alvin Kamara to get Tony Pollard, you're doing it wrong.
You're doing it wrong. You're totally doing it wrong. Okay, just a few more quick questions. I know we got to get you out of here because you're a busy, busy guy. Any high concern players that are, you know, you're giving him one more week and then that's it?
Can we bring Allen Robinson back into this?
Yeah, Allen Robinson. I feel like this entire podcast has been about Allen Robinson and Odell Beckham Jr. like for every episode, because these two are the two that are just total head scratchers to me.
They are. Odell Beckham. You didn't mention that one. I would actually drop Beckham before I dropped Allen Robinson.
You would? Mostly. Okay.
Yeah, because Jarvis Landry's coming back. I don't think – it doesn't make sense to bring him back tomorrow night, especially with the actual layoff. But Landry's been the only consistent option in that game. So I would drop Beckham first for one more week. I'll tell you this. I'm giving him – he's already falling into streaming conversation. And if this isn't the week and it's quarterback, but if this isn't the week that Tannehill – can put up a top 10 performance with six teams on bye, Tannehill may just be done usable this year, because I mentioned this on my podcast. I said he's not really that much different from the Tannehill we saw last year. And we expected better because he had Julio as his number two versus AJ Brown and Corey Davis. So we expected it to take a step forward, if nothing else, be equal. But the biggest problem is that he's been so less efficient on the touchdowns. He's essentially the same. It's just the touchdowns aren't there. So if Tannehill can't do it this week in the matchup, I think you could just go out there and, you know, go back to picking up Daniel Jones. As much as we just saw the miserableness of Daniel Jones, at least you get some of those 20-point games unlike Tannehill this year.
Yeah, and a little bit of a rushing floor from Daniel Jones too, which is interesting. If it's for those who aren't looking at the schedule for this week, they are facing Tannehill's facing Kansas City Chiefs, and Kansas City Chiefs have surrendered the second most fantasy points to opposing quarterbacks. So if he can't make good on it this week, and of course, you know, they've also surrendered a whole lot of fantasy points to running backs, and Derrick Henry just doesn't stop. So it could backfire. It could not work for Tannehill, but I'm debating starting between him and Derek Carr in a league. And it's actually, you know, I'm going Tannehill, but he might let me down. This could end up Derek Carr could be the answer. You never know.
They could be back to back. It's interesting to see the use of Derek Carr last week is they opened it up a little bit more, mostly with Brian Edwards being on the field. Brian Edwards actually second most snaps for the first time this year behind only Darren Waller. So
he was on my waiver wire list this week. Did you have him on your list?
Yep. Deeper one. Yeah. It could be Hunter Renfrow could be getting phased out. I'm trying to think if there's anybody else that has one last shot. Eminem, one chance. You know
playing
what?
M&Ms.
Yeah, speaking of M&Ms, I'll say this. You go back to the Mike Davis situation. If there's any signs where, like, if he just only gets 10 carries this week, oh my God, get the panic time. Like, I would even, if you can, and I know nobody's really paying much, but maybe this is where you take advantage of the people on the buys. Go look at teams that are trying to fill it in and plugging in. Ronald Jones is their RB2 or Le'Veon Bell. Go look at them. And even if you don't get much from Mike Davis, you know, maybe you can go get Allen Robinson. I've actually seen Mike Davis trade for Allen Robinson because that's where we're at now. That I would get out from underneath Mike Davis before it's too late, before there's potentially zero value.
It's pretty. I'm sorry, guys. I just got distracted, but Jordan Alvarez just hit a solo home run in the top of the second in the ALCS. Okay, back to football. one other quick question. Kenyon Drake. Were you at all, I noticed that he's still available in like 47% of leagues. I have zero shares, have not been interested in Kenyon Drake, but I was a little bit interested that he finally got back into the game plan on Sunday. And I'm wondering, do you think, no John Gruden, that maybe there is some deep value for Kenyon Drake somewhere?
Mostly because of something that happens to Josh Jacobs again. Right. That's why. Yeah. So I
put Peyton Barber seems like the handcuff for Josh Jacobs.
But that's what I'm saying. He might not be anymore.
Right.
And it was only six touches. He's not going to score two touchdowns on six touches every single week. Probably not going to score one touchdown on six touches every single week. But I'll say he's at least interesting back in the conversation of if you have the room. And you might not because it's six teams on a bye. But if you have the room to stash him, before I said he's completely off the radar because he wasn't being even involved when they were down. And as you mentioned, Peyton Barber was the next person up. But we don't know if that's the case with the new coaches system. So maybe that little bit of use that he got last week is pointing to that Kenyon Drake could be more involved. So, yeah, I'll go stash it again because we started this show talking about Demetric Felton and D'Ernest Johnson. If nothing terrible else, that should tell you, like, just go get running backs, even if they look like nothing out there. I'd be stashing Carlos Hyde and Malcolm
Brown. Telling everyone to pick up Mark Ingram this week. Come on, lock and load Mark Ingram. That's where we are. It's disgusting. But anyway, Jake, we wish you all the luck in your week seven bye weeks. I'm sure you don't need it because I'm sure that you have perfect roster construction as you preach.
Perfect. I have Tony Pollard at every single position.
Tony Pollard, the secret weapon. Tell everybody where we can find you one more time.
Guest appearance by Barkley. Come here, Barkley.
There you go. Hey, Barkley. You guys, if you want a really good follow, go to Instagram and follow Jake because it's like, basically a Barkley account.
So it's 90% Saquon Barkley. I don't have any friends or family. I just have Barkley.
It's pretty awesome. You should definitely follow him there because Barkley is, she's a scene stealer.
There we go. All right. Anyway, what were you asking me?
Oh, I was just asking where everybody can find you.
Oh, yeah. At Olin Kidd, at The Athletic. That's where these articles we're talking about are. Because you mentioned the Betts TV, I guess I could technically do this. If not, oh well, too late. If you want a free first month at The Athletic, you can go to theathletic.com/BettsTV, all capitals, BETSTV, but it's all capitals. And the first month is free. So there you go. If you haven't checked out The Athletic.
I want to say, I know a lot of people have trouble with the paywall and I get it, but I subscribe and I pay for The Athletic and it is worth every single penny. It's nothing.
If I even work there, clicking on articles and not having to deal with the new ads that like scroll with you now. Like I can't even do that on sites anymore. Like even if I didn't work for The Athletic, I'd be like, nah, I'm signing up.
Yeah, no, it's like a couple bucks a month. And I've given it away as gifts. I'm not even joking because I think it's so nice to give someone not to have to, deal with that. Anyway, I'm Jake. Thanks so much for joining us. Have a great week. Good luck in your bye weeks. And hopefully we can talk to you again sometime soon.
Sounds good.
That was Jake Seeley at The Athletic, also on Betts Media TV. He is one of the best in the biz. Be sure you give him a follow at All In Kid, A-L-L-I-N-K-I-D. Spaghetti. Should we talk waiver wire?
Let's do it. Let's get into it. I did one quick thought. Jake did bring it up, and you guys talked about it for a bit. And we were talking on the earlier episode of Minus Three this week, and with Sal before, after Extra Points is wrapping up. And this Browns TNF game, the Browns Broncos game, and Sal's big streaks in the line. And we talked ad nauseum about Odell Beckham Jr. And I made the statement, and to which they agreed in the office, that at injured Baker Mayfield versus the Broncos, like I felt more confident picking the Broncos with an injured Baker. Now that Case Keem's playing, we've seen backup quarterbacks kind of, you know, ignite this spark. Geno Smith just did it a few weeks back, where they have stretches of really good play. And Case Keem has kind of proven himself in the league that he could get a win if need be, if the things are right on his surrounding offense. Maybe I'm crazy, but I feel like the game plan for them may be like, we're going to, you know, Baker just does not target Odell. Maybe Case Keenum is like, hey, I'm the backup quarterback. Odell, we know what he could do. He used to be an elite wide receiver. Let's target the crap out of him and see what happens this game. Maybe I'm crazy, but that's kind of my thought process.
I mean, I don't hate that at all. I think that Odell could definitely be in the game plan with Case Keenum because of the way Case Keenum plays, as you said. Though I have to say that my inside sources in Las Vegas have said to me that OBJ is not playing. So we don't know.
Right.
But that is kind of a little bit of the scuttlebutt I got. That's a really cool thing to say for ladies, right? Scuttlebutt. Anyway, that's what I heard. So I don't think he's going to be playing. You're right. And of course, you're right. Backup quarterbacks can't come in and ignite a spark. I'm still taking Denver, though, in this game.
Same.
Because, you know, I don't think the Cleveland secondary has been so bad. Did you see how those Arizona receivers just running wide open? And then what? You're going to lean. Okay, they're built for the run game. So you're going to lean on two running backs who have had a total combined three carries all year behind a beat up O-line. I can't do it. And what's really exciting, guys, is I was actually going rogue and picking Denver Moneyline yesterday when I was writing up the game. So I sent that over to SI Sportsbook along with Noah Fant for a touchdown. They parlayed it, boosted the bet, plus 650.
Wow.
Which is crazy because at that point they hadn't even announced Case Keenum. So, it's good stuff.
Yeah,
because Denver is now not so underdog.
No. I think they have a real good shot to win. If Teddy's, you know, I know he's banged up a little bit, but if he plays, Von Miller's fired up. But like, talk about injuries. I mean, Cleveland probably has the most amount of injuries in the whole NFL, right? I mean,
right.
Every position. I mean, it seems like
it could be Drew Lock. It's true. You never know. But even still, I think that they still have the advantage because they have a nice tight defense, allowing only about 18.5 points per game.
Without a doubt.
So, yeah. Anyway, so I'm glad we talked about that a little bit. Waiver wire picks. You know, I was really kind of higher on Donovan Peoples-Jones when I knew it was going to be Baker Mayfield. And now I am a little bit nervous about that Donovan Peoples-Jones pick. But if no OBJ, I think you're probably still rolling with it on the short week. And with a heavy bye week. So quarterbacks I like, we'll just go through them really quickly. You can also get this video on my wide receivers that I did with the guys at Against All Odds too, if you want to just find a short video clip. But for quarterbacks, Tua, Jameis, Mac Jones, those three have good matchups and you can probably stream them easily. For running backs, of course, Johnson and Felton, who we talked about, who I really don't like, but you just could be in that situation. JD McKissick is someone I really do like. 19 fantasy points last week. We know they use him in third and long. We know he's the 2-minute drill guy. Antonio Gibson did not practice today, Wednesday. This should be a negative game script for Washington versus Green Bay. So I really like JD McKissick, and he's available in about, you know, more than 50% of leagues, which blows my mind. Ramondre Stevenson, which we just talked about. T.Y. Hilton, Tim Patrick. Okay, we were just talking about the Cleveland secondary. Tim Patrick, of course, Sutton is like, of course you're going to play Sutton, but Tim Patrick, someone on the wire that has a really good chance this week. He's already found the end zone three times. They've surrendered 9 touchdowns to opposing wide receivers. I like Tim Patrick this week. He's a great waiver wire. He's just giving you a solid floor every single week. Christian Kirk is still out there. Marquez Callaway, great matchup for New Orleans this weekend versus Seattle. Who we got? Brian Edwards, who we briefly mentioned with Jake. Love him. Rashad Bateman, really used on Sunday. Ricky Seals-Jones at tight end, once again in a smash spot. Anthony Firkser, actually in a really good spot as well this week. And then you can always, if you really need something deep, Disley or Dwelly. And looking ahead, just quickly going over some starts before we check in with Eddie on his teams and get to questions. Starts for the week for me, we are going to try Ryan Tannehill. Matt Ryan is one. I would start Teddy Bridgewater if he goes. Kyler and Jameis. So that's giving you a range because I'm assuming, you know, a lot of you are going to have Dak on bye. You're going to have Josh Allen on bye. Running backs, Darrell Henderson, Cordarrelle Patterson. We talked about Alvin Kamara, must start Chuba Hubbard, Josh Jacobs. Wide receiver, Ridley, you gotta keep playing him. Sutton and Patrick, as I mentioned, T.Y. Hilton, if he goes, Deebo Samuel, DJ Moore, must start this week. Also like Brandon Cooks. Tight end, Goddard, Ertz in his debut, even though I said on the podcast I don't love Ertz and his long line of pass catchers, this particular spot, really good for him, and it's his debut versus Houston. Pitts, Hunter Henry again, and Ross Dwelly, who we talked about. So there we are. All right, Eddie, how are you doing? Are you winning your leagues? What's going on?
Three straight losses for my main team. Start off 3-0, 3-3, but I got a I'm versing the last place team this week, so I'm feeling pretty good about it. I'm getting some guys. I'm actually not getting ruined by the bye weeks like other managers are. I'm getting some guys back. I'm very excited that Jake's high and Cordarrelle Patterson have him. Calvin Ridley's coming back, hopefully. I'm loving this Matt Stafford. Well, last week Stafford beat up on my Giants, which is fine, but Stafford I have this week playing his old team.
Narrative.
It's going to be great. I like Aaron Jones' matchup. Green Bay versus Washington football team's defense has been pretty poor. You know, the Odell Beckham thing's a question mark. Probably don't want to start him. But for the most part, feeling all right about the team. And especially Hunter Henry, who I mentioned a few shows back, too. If he's keeping his thing up a tight end, that was a nice little find I had. So I'm feeling okay. I should get a win, go back above 500, and things will get back on track.
Yeah, I absolutely I think you're going to be back on track. You're going to be fine. That's part of it.
Yeah. It's, you know, there's ebbs and flows of the season, as we all know, with injuries or bye weeks or just, you know, sometimes early in the week, like, you know, watching your red zone and then you see the backup of the backup of the backup scoring and like, this doesn't do anyone good. It just sometimes you deal with that. And my team is, everyone's team had those weeks where some guy just put up 5 points, 10 points. You're not going to win games like that. But it's that's why fantasy is a, 15, 16 week long season. Mm-hmm. And we'll get through it together with the help of your advice and Jake's advice and all the wonderful guest advice. So we listen and we will adjust in season.
Yeah, we will. We're going to try to keep bringing on the best of the best in the fantasy football industry for the podcast each week so we can get lots of different opinions in here, lots of different strategies, and we're going to help everybody win. It doesn't matter if you're 6-0 or you're 0-6. We're going to help you win these leagues. So we are also here at all times. You can send me a message. You can tweet me at Jen Piacenti. I really try, and I think I probably get to most, answer every question. I think I get to at least 90% of them every once in a while. I miss one and someone tweets me again. I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. I answered this in my head, but didn't type it. So we'll try to always get back to you. So let's go to some questions now. First, before we do that, let's talk about, guys, don't forget, if you want to play with us, and you know you want to play with us, go to extrapoints.com/arcade and pick games with us. We had a fantastic week last week. I think I got 10 of them right. I was so mad about Buffalo on Monday night and their stupid decisions because I was like, oh, we're going to get overtime. I'm still going to win this one. Not so much. So lost that one. Thought I was going to have 11.
I got to tell you, I would have won. I would have been in the winner's circle for the NFL picks. And I somehow, and this is the one screw up I had, was I don't remember picking. I tweeted about this. I don't remember picking the Giants versus the Rams. I remember going I remember going on. I think it was against all odds earlier in the week. And I was saying to Sal in the D3, I was like, they're going to get, if Andrew Thomas is not healthy, they're going to get dominated. I think like the Rams are going to destroy. And I was right. And then for some reason, when I went on extrapoints.com/arcade and I just blacked out. I just had a memory loss. I picked the Giants. If I had that one more victory, I would have been the winner's circle. I would have got my gold hat. But playing again this week, and we have a new fun one, a Halloween edition for a prop culture. Got our typical NFL prop quiz, college pick 'em, ALCS and NLCS prop quiz, and of course, the regular NFL. So we got all those prop quizzes up there on extrapoints.com/arcade. Sign up is free. Just name an email and you'll win a hat, which I almost had.
Yeah, do it. It's lots of fun. Plus, you get to see our floating head picks every week and track what we're doing too and how we're doing. All right, let's jump into some questions. Let's help everybody out.
All right, let's do it. Thanks again, everyone. Just keep tweeting at Jen P. Chanzi, at Edward L. Murphy, at Extra Points Pod. Thank you for all those who tweeted at us. First question is, this is from George. Hey, Jennifer, what defense would you rather have, Arizona or Tampa Bay?
I would rather have Arizona this week.
All right, moving on here. Bye week Blues. If Odell Beckham is active, do you start him or Felton? Thinking Denver shuts down OBJ, so leaning Felton as a low floor, medium ceiling type sort of wild card.
Okay, so this really depends on your roster. I really don't want you to have to start either of them. but if Odell Beckham Jr. is active, I've got to start Odell Beckham Jr. I cannot go to somebody who's lined up a few times at wide receiver and not had a single carry and expect him to outperform Odell Beckham Jr. Odell Beckham Jr. still seeing the majority of the snaps, even though he hasn't been getting the looks, he's been on the field. And as you mentioned, Eddie, with Case Keenum, maybe he gets that shot. So I would start Odell Beckham Jr. if he goes. If he doesn't, then sure, try Felton.
We got a question here from Gary, also sticking with the Browns. How far does D'Ernest Johnson's stock rise this week with Chubb potentially out and Keenum starting at quarterback? Also, this is a two-parter, does Trey Sermon finally get more opportunities after the bye week?
Yeah, so we kind of, inadvertently answered these in the first part of the pod, and I agree with Jake on both of these. Yeah, I guess his stock rises in that he's a living, breathing person with a pulse. But, you know, D'Ernest Johnson has had three carries this year. Last year, he was in a similar spot. He had an okay game versus Dallas. He's really yet to do anything at the NFL level that's super impressive. And we're talking about a Denver run defense that's actually really, really good. So I'm not super high on him. That being said, it's bye weeks and you may need to start him. But I don't really think that like the difference between Baker and Keenum is anything. If anything, it actually brings him down more to me because Denver could just, I don't know, stack the box if they're not worried about Keenum. So I don't love it, but I understand that we're in a situation where that may have to happen. As far as Sermon, no, I don't think he'll get more than one opportunity, but I'm not that excited about Sermon. You've got Jamichael Hasty coming back. You got Jeff Wilson Jr. coming back. And it does seem as though Mitchell is the guy that's more popular with Kyle Shanahan.
This one's a funny one here from the one arm drummer. In an effort to avoid getting my heart ripped out every week at the last possible moment, should I via waiver wire and trade simply stream as many Monday Night Football players as possible every week? I feel your pain.
So you have that late hammer, that's hilarious. I would love to tell you yes, and maybe you have to follow your heart and do it. But problem is this little thing called COVID. And as soon as you do that, half your Monday night streamers are going to end up on the COVID list because it's Murphy's Law, right? So we're trying to avoid Murphy's Law right now, and you're going to Murphy's Law yourself right back into it. So come to us with questions if you have them. But that is hilarious. I wish that could work out for you.
Yeah, that's funny stuff there. Well, the Browns are the hot topic. So another question here from El Tibron. Is Donovan Peoples-Jones startable? Assuming if OBJ is out.
I think it just depends on what your situation is. Yeah, he's startable. I mean, he saw two touchdowns, 101 yards last week. He looked great. And he was getting the attention from Baker. It's been 2 weeks in a row now that he's been getting attention again. You know, if OBJ's out, yeah. Still don't love him. He's still not someone I have super high up there, but we're talking by weeks. And so it just depends on your situation.
This question coming in from Jamie, if you had to drop one because someone coming off the IR, would it be Callaway, Mooney, or Bateman in a PPR league? I also have Goddard on IR, but when he's off, I have to drop somebody. So basically dropping Goddard to keep Goddard, which of the three, Callaway, Mooney, or Bateman, would you keep?
It's really hard. I want you to be able to keep all of them. If I had to pick only one to drop, I would pick Rashad Bateman. Because I'm not sure that we have proven that a third pass catcher in Baltimore will get enough work to be worth it. So I'm counting Hollywood Brown and Mark Andrews ahead of him. Also, Sammy Watkins could come back. I wish you could keep Rashad Bateman because of the talent and the skill and all of that. But Mooney is the clear number one in Chicago. And who was the other guy?
It was Mooney, Callaway, and Rashad Bateman.
Callaway is the clear number one in New Orleans, and Michael Thomas keeps getting pushed back.
All right. We have a question coming from Kevin. I'm in a tough spot this week because of the buys. I need to start two of these three. Would it be D'Ernest Johnson, J.D. McKissic, or Mecole Hardman?
Ooh, that's hard. J.D. McKissic, I really like. And I think you probably go D'Ernest Johnson for the floor. And if you want to, if you need to swing for the fences, then go Hardman.
We got a trade offer. Hey, Jen, would you trade Antonio Gibson for Eli Mitchell?
I would not, just because Eli Mitchell's backfield can get more crowded. Antonio Gibson, if he's healthy, he still leads the backfield. And we know what the split is. Eli Mitchell, we just don't even know what the split is. It could go four ways.
We have a two-parter here from Amit. First part is, should I pick up Devontae Freeman or Ramondre Stevenson for Jamal Williams?
You could pick up not Devonta Freeman. No way. I would definitely rather have Williams. But Ramondre Stevenson might be smart because he's clearly the one in line after Damian Harris. So, yeah, I would do it if you're safe at running back. If you're safe at starting running backs, sure.
I said two parts, actually a three-parter. Any value in a Marlon Mack stash with hopes of him getting traded?
Yeah, I wouldn't do it. I just think it's outthinking it too much. We've been talking about Marlon Mack getting traded now since like what, last season? It hasn't happened, but certainly you can. But you know, like we thought Le'Veon Bell was going to be great after he was traded and that didn't work out. So even a trade doesn't guarantee much. So if you have the room, sure. But with bye weeks, it seems like a tricky time to be able to do that.
And the last part of his question was, I have Chris Carson. Please tell me I'm not crazy to pick up Rashad Penny and stash my R just in case he clicks.
That's not crazy if you want to do that. I don't think Rashad Penny's going to be the guy, but it's certainly not crazy. And it's a good stash.
All right. We got down to our last two, some familiar faces. First one from Mohan does a great job helping us out here at Extra Points on the social team. He has Michael Thomas in his one IR spot, but also has Jarvis Landry and Russell Wilson on his bench on the IR. Do I drop any of them? I only have five bench spots.
Michael Thomas in your one IR spot. And you also have Jarvis and Russ on the bench on the IR. Here's the thing. You can't drop Jarvis because he's going to be back in like a week and he's going to be good. I don't think you can drop Russ because he was at freaking practice this week. The man's insane. And if you've stashed Michael Thomas this long, you can't drop him. I mean, personally, I'm not an advocate for Michael Thomas. Look, he's already getting pushed back. Like I've not been in the Michael Thomas, you know, side. But if you've had him this long, I don't see how you drop him. What you could do maybe is, I don't know, maybe you can trade him to somebody and then cut somebody else. So you at least get value for Michael Thomas, but I think you probably just have to stand pat.
And our last question here from our pal, Dave Damashek, asking who to start a quarterback for his team, Matt Ryan or Trey Lance?
Matt Ryan, the Matt Ryan matchup this week versus Miami is just too good. They've surrendered the third most fantasy points to opposing quarterbacks this year. We saw him look pretty good in London. He's rested. So I'm going Ryan.
All right. Well, it's another really good week of questions, double digits. So good job by our listeners and tweeters and followers.
Yeah. Thanks everybody for sending in those questions. Continue to send them in. We'll continue to answer them. In the meantime, I'm going to have a DFS video out for you guys this weekend. And, you know, just to update you one more time on the bobblehead bet, Extra Points beat Howard Bender, who helped somebody win $1 million. So that means we're next to help somebody win $1 million, right? We're going to have a Millie Maker winner. I feel it coming this week with our DFS video, which will be out this weekend. So we're going to help you with your DFS plays. Don't forget to go over to extrapoints.com/arcade, enter to play with us. we pick the games every week. As Eddie told us, we have college football, we have a Halloween one, we have an LCS if you're into the baseball like myself, and it's a lot of fun. So if you guys have any more questions before you set your lineups, don't hesitate to tweet them to us at Extra Points, at Edward L. Murphy, at Jen Piacenti, and we will be here to help you dominate your fantasy football leagues. In the meantime, thanks again to Jake Seeley. You can find him over at The Athletic on Twitter at AllInKid. And thanks to my producer. You guys, you have no idea how cool Eddie Spaghetti is. He has the best, most positive outlook all the time, always a can-do attitude and lots of fun. And he's pretty damn smart at this football thing too. So even though he's a Yankees fan, just kidding.
Yeah. Positive despite the Yankees and the Giants and the Knicks are tipping off tonight. So that's going to go sour as always. So somehow positive. Yeah.
Well, you and Jerry can sit around and
Your
Knicks.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
We're going to get Jerry on the pod. All right, everybody, have a great week. Enjoy the football.